Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here is Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here back with a couple of people who are two of my favorite people. David Cavaletti, who is a national leader for Life Teen, evangelist, been involved with teen and young adult ministry for many, many years. David, we had you on the show last week, and I know everyone got an awful lot about youth ministry. Well, this week, we want to talk about young adults and this new evangelization, and I'll get to you in a second regarding that, but welcome back on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm honored to be here again.
And someone we've had on the show a number of times who is another young adult evangelist along with David, and who has been active in our ministry at Spirit-Filled Hearts and involved in really building a lot of young adults to come to Christ. Katie Hughes, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Well, this whole subject of evangelization with young adults is something that is near and dear to everyone's heart in the church, because we talked last week about the youth being the future and the critical nature of it. Well, certainly, as critical as the youth is, we can't forget about those young adults. And we're, you know, categorizing that as post-college, in a sense, to, you know, in their 30s, as both of you are. First of all, let's start with, what is evangelization? What is this new evangelization all about, David?
The term new evangelization, it's kind of been a buzzword if you go to any conference or if you, you know, kind of listen to any sort of Catholic news outlet. But I think kind of it comes with a lot of ambiguity, like new evangelization. And we kind of hear these words, new ardor, new methods, and new expressions. And then we just kind of, out of excitement, maybe jump in and just do a bunch of new things without actually stopping and kind of maybe looking back. And I think, for myself in ministry, one of the most important factors to understand about the new evangelization is exactly that, that you always need to be on the lookout of the new. And I don't mean new teachings or new truth, because obviously that doesn't change, and that's the beauty of our church for 2,000 years. But new is in the sense of keeping your pulse on society, on culture. How is culture dialoguing right now? How is society engaging with each other? Like, what's relevant to them? How are things shifting? And by being aware of that, so we can actually meet them in that grounds and communicate on that way, you know? Like the digital kind of revolution, a lot of culture happens digitally. If we as a church refuse to do that just because it's new, like, boom, we've already lost them, you know? So we got to be open to how culture is evolving and be aware of where they're going in order to keep communicating in the same language to them.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are here at Christ Cathedral talking about the role of evangelization with young adults, with David Cavaletti, a national leader, as well as Katie Hughes. And the word evangelization, the root word in Greek, means good news. And receiving the good news of Jesus Christ with fills your heart for all of eternity. The new evangelization really started with the Second Vatican Council, in which we are told that evangelization is the very heart of the church. And then Saint Pope John Paul II said that we need to commit all of the church's energies to this new evangelization. And what was this new evangelization? Well, it's not just going off to foreign lands, but it is spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to those closest to us, those in our families, those sitting in the pews, those that don't go to church. You know, David, you had a statement here at the break where you talked about the fact that we have 1.3 million Catholics registered in the Diocese of Orange, but perhaps only 400,000 go on a regular basis. And I've heard about 16% go regularly is all nationally. And Katie, you know, in your opinion, as it relates to young adults, well, I don't see too many of them in church. And what is some of the issues in which we need to do a better job connecting with them?
I think a lot of young adults are distracted by things of the world, and we all have a certain amount of time each day. And where do we put our priority? And what is our world telling us our priority is? For me, as a young adult, earlier on, I went to Sunday Mass, and I never gave up on going to Mass. Sometimes I would skip. But it was something I was supposed to do. And I knew I was raised that way, and so it stayed with me. I think sometimes if you don't have that history in your life as a child, as a teen, and your parents say soccer's more important, entertainment's more important, someone's birthday party is more important, well, then that's the status quo, and that's what's happening. And I think we have to change that. I'm not a parent, but parents need to change that as they're raising their children. Say, I'm sorry, God comes first. And if you aren't standing up and saying that with your actions, well, your children are going to follow what you do. However, I do think there's a place where you can meet the young adults where they are and find them. And that sometimes it's on the street. It's sometimes evangelizing at a concert, or maybe it's even at a bar where you're at. Wherever it is that they are and they're missing, they're not at church, that's kind of where you have to go sometimes.
David, you had talked about this in our last show about meeting them where they're at. And so many times the young adults just don't feel like the Catholic Church is as relevant as it could be.
Yeah, I think, it's interesting when it comes to the relevancy idea of the Catholic Church. The Mass, the Gospel, the Church is eternally relevant, but I think our mediocrity covers up that relevancy for the people around us. And instead of seeing the beauty of the Church, they see us settling, or our mediocrity kind of being put forward. And I think we see the results of that. I had a young adult come up to me, honestly, one of the coolest Catholic young adults I've met, an amazingly talented musician, and he came up to me and he just was kind of wailing over the fact. He said, more and more, I don't feel there's a place for me in the Catholic Church. And here you have, a young middle 20s has so much to offer and is ready to offer, and just not being met with this receptivity of the Church, and kind of meeting, again, him where they're at and having this striving for greatness of opportunity to reach the young adults.
There seems to be a communication gap, David, too, in terms of how we communicate to young adults. And again, not being a young adult, but at least my perception is that the way they see the world through social media, the way they communicate, the way that they just process things are so much different. And we need to just do things differently to be able to connect with them.
Yeah, I think, historically, that's what Christ did. He used certain types of parables to reach certain types of people, who lived in kind of a certain way or a certain culture. And really, by using a parable, he was speaking in their language, so to speak. And then we see, even the importance of Vatican II, of the people being able to hear the Mass and the Gospel in their own language. Well, as society, the way we speak is so much more than just the actual, English, Spanish, whatever it may be. Our cultures speak and interact in a certain way. And we need to kind of understand that if we are going to be able to speak our message to that culture. So we need to be aware of what young adult culture looks like and how they interact. We need to be aware of really the quality that they're saturated with, not of content, but of beauty and things. Whether it's the idea of music or movies or even something like an Apple product, right? Everything is presented to them in the sense of quality. And sure, there's a lack of content, but if we don't stop and ask ourselves, what's the quality of our efforts? We're already a step behind, because they're being saturated with a certain level of expectation or a certain level of excellence in some ways. And if we don't start there, then we're kind of lost them already, I think, in how we communicate to them.
Katie?
I really feel that not only is it the content, but also where you're coming from. Are you coming from a place of love? Mm. Are you coming from a place of not condemning, rather accepting them where they are, and then, seeing what is positive about them and encouraging them? You just like use the gifts of the Holy Spirit and encourage these youth who need to feel good about themselves, because a lot of times they aren't.
Yeah, I would say young adults, they don't need condemnation, they need investment.
Well, it's kind of interesting, because at Spirit-Filled Hearts, we've been heavily involved in working with young adults, having them part of our prayer teams, having them part of evangelization and working with them. And one of the things that's so important to me is when I invite them to be prayer team leaders, they look at me like they're in a state of shock that I would even ask them, because they don't necessarily see themselves in a leadership role, or they think that I wouldn't see themselves in a leadership role.
Right.
So our ability to provide confidence to them to say that I, in a sense, embrace you and value you is extremely important.
Absolutely. You know, in between segments, we were talking about that the outreach event we did in the heart of the city. And part of that is we formed a street team of just young adults who were willing to get the message out there, bring invitation cards to everyone and everyone, whether it was a church or whether it was a gym or whether we were on like a trail going for a hike. And we had about 30 young adults who were helping us spread the words. It was very organically grassroots. And at the end of this event, we brought them all together to thank them, and we fed them and stuff. And I was just pouring out my heart thanking them because they wouldn't have been what it was without them. And so many of them came up to our leadership and they said, thank you for giving us a place. And I was kind of like dumbfounded. They said, no, thank you for like giving me something to do for the church. And we were, the leadership, we were talking, we were so amazed. Here we were so grateful, like begging their help. And they were just so willing to serve the church. They just need to be given an outlet that meets that passion in their heart, you know? And I think as a church, we've kind of overlooked that a lot and just kind of let them and their talents float by.
This Deacon Steve Greco with David Cavaletti, who is a national leader with teens and young adults, with Katie Hughes, who is actively involved with evangelization of young adults through Spirit-Filled Hearts, our ministry. And we're excited to talk about what we can do in my generation and the older generation to work with young adults, to really create value with them, to love them unconditionally, to support them, and to build leadership among them. And we're going to be right back to talk about that leadership and doing things greatly, as David would say, and what that's all about. We'll be right back.
God, I'm running for your heart.
Deacon Steve Greco, we're back on Powered by the Spirit talking about evangelization to young adults with David Cavaletti and Katie Hughes. David, you had a line here that you mentioned to me that we can't just do new things, we have to do new things greatly. And how does that relate to young adults? And I know you've done some of these new things, and tell us about some of those events.
Yeah, well, I think, again, kind of off this idea of the new evangelization, we do hear that new art or new methods, new expressions, and we kind of just think, well, we just have to do new things. And so, well, we have to get a new website, or our parish has to be on Twitter, or whatever it is. And that may be true. But I think if we often look at what we're doing, are we doing those new things just to say we've done them, or are we actually doing them greatly? Are we putting effort and intentionality behind it? And I think that's something that we kind of as a church or as church leaders have to, I don't know, be a little bit culpable for, is understanding it's not enough just to do something new. We have to do it greatly, in the sense with a passion, with an intentionality, with a relevance in how we're delivering it to the culture. And one of the things we're trying to do, if I have time to share, I'll share quickly, but you mentioned the statistic. I mean, less than 400,000 of Catholics in our diocese aren't attending Mass, really. And so we realized that we wanted to do some events to lead them to an encounter with Christ in the Eucharist, but it wasn't necessarily going to be the best if we did it at church, because most of those people aren't coming to church to hear about the event as it was. So we empowered a street team with some advertising cards, and we set up this event called God Among Us. And it was just simply a bunch of youth ministers in the area who wanted to reach out to the young adult community wherever they were. We rented out this historic theater in Santa Ana called The Yost. And kind of the beauty of it is any day of the week, it's like a rave or a burlesque show or something that is probably pretty far from the gospel. And some people kind of gave us flack. Well, why would you do a church thing there? And I'm like, well, that kind of sounds like where Jesus hung out in the Gospels, you know? And so we were like, let's do it there, because people feel comfortable going there who may not feel comfortable being in a church. And then once we rented the place and had this plan, it wasn't enough to just do it. We made sure that the art and the advertisement, the branding, the hospitality, we trained people on how to be nice. And it may sound dumb, but like we did, we trained our volunteers. How do you greet someone? How important is it to actually make eye contact and welcome them to this event and walk them in, help them find a seat? How important is it to ask their name? You know, things like that. We didn't settle in music. We had some of the best musicians in the area be there that night to lead in prayer and worship. everything about it, we strove for greatness because we realized the message is worth it. We have the gospel. And if we shrink back, if we settle for mediocrity in preaching the gospel, not only do we lose the people we're charged to be in mission to, but we've really sold the gospel in Jesus Christ short as if he deserves something less than great.
We cannot water it down in
Absolutely.
Any way, shape, or form. Katie, you've been heavily involved with young adult ministry in our diocese with music groups and prayer groups. In fact, you just went to a prayer group meeting last night, I believe. And what is the unique things about music and about the music groups and so forth and what they like to hear, young adults, what you like to hear, and young adults coming together in prayer?
Most of the young adult events I go to, it's usually surrounded by adoration. Mm-hmm. And with that, you have someone facilitating that, a priest. And I find that when they show how much they love Jesus, how much they adore the Eucharist, they're such a wonderful role model for the start. And then you add in the music, and music is for everyone, and there's all kinds of music. And even like the musicians who are secular and their music is nothing of the Lord, their hearts and their minds are seeking passion, love, and I mean of the soul. They want to feed their soul. And music does that, and you can do it in a positive way. However, the quality is so important. Mm-hmm. You need to prepare yourself. You need to have a group of people who know what the objective is as far as reaching the hearts, and that's doing their best.
Yeah.
And loving, and that's love. When you do your best for others, that's that agape love. When you seek to do the best for someone else. And so that's my experience when I go to these events, is they want to feel that love. The love comes through the passion of the music being played. It touches their heart. Having the visuals of seeing the words, it's poetry. So you're touching another part of their mm-hmm. soul with the literature that's there. And then you have this community around and it's centered on Jesus. And Jesus has the power. And that's what sometimes people have to realize. We can do a lot of stuff and we can create a lot of venues. But if Jesus isn't at the center and the love of Jesus isn't there, at some point, it's going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. If it starts to become about just the music, if it starts to become just about the pride of the speaker or the teacher, it ends up being about them, well, then it's not in the right place, and it may fizzle out. You may mm-hmm. have some people, but the draw is going to come to an end because the Holy Spirit isn't there. You're there instead, and you don't have the power.
Comment, David, from your perspective.
Yeah, a couple things. One, just what you said right there about the Holy Spirit isn't there, you're there. My boss, one of the greatest things I heard him said, he said, what a horrible thing if people come to the church looking for God and all they found is us. You know what I mean? I think the way we don't That's prepare our hearts, yeah. you know, the way we aren't receptive and docile out of the Holy Spirit in our own pursuit of holiness is a huge kind of factor. And the other thing you'd mentioned, the idea of quality. I'm a graphic designer for Life Teen, and so I follow a lot of different designers as inspiration. And I saw this designer with this quote they did share, and he said, quality isn't expensive, it's priceless. And it really got me thinking, quality isn't expensive, it's priceless, because the quality or lack of quality we put in front of our people is going to push them away or pull them in. You know, and I've had people who've been excited to come to church and have been met with, sadly, poor quality or mediocrity, and it totally turns off or reinforces their negative misunderstanding of what the church is. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important, with the gospel being gold, right, being that priceless message, our quality of how we deliver it in every way, hospitality to preaching like Deacon does here, or music, or whatever it is, has to be up there to help usher them to that meeting point of the gospel of Jesus.
Amen, amen. We're with David Cavaletti and Katie Hughes here at Christ Cathedral, talking about the new evangelization with young adults. And it's okay for us to learn from our Protestant brothers and sisters, isn't it? And here in Orange County, we happen to have a few major mega churches, And they do some things with young adults that we can learn from. And what are some things that you've seen other our Protestant brothers and sisters do that we could perhaps learn from?
Yeah, I think just to reiterate what you said, not only can we learn, I think humility calls us to learn. That if we see that they're doing something amazing, they are attracting the culture to the gospel of Christ in a way that we're not. In humility, like, we have to look at that. And I think as Catholics, sometimes it gets easy to maybe discard them and say, oh, well, that's a Protestant thing, or they don't have the fullness of truth, or we have the Eucharist. And in my mind, I'm like, you're right. Like, they don't have the fullness of truth, and yet look at what they're doing with a partial truth. Look at the passion and the zeal and the effort financially and with bodies and all that. And we have the Eucharist, and we use that as an excuse. The Eucharist needs to be a reason for us to do great things like our Protestant brothers and sisters are, not an excuse to shy away from it. And so, a small personal experience, this will cost your church absolutely $0. My wife and I, we've moved around a few times, and recently we were in this area, brand new to us, and we kind of were church hopping, so to speak, and we went to all the different Catholic churches in the area for about the first 3 or 4 months that we were there. So we were brand new people at every single Catholic church in that area for the first 3 to 4 months. And we went, you know, just to kind of check it out. And it was, nothing really kind of came to our attention until one morning we decided, you know what, let's go to Mass in the morning, because we know the Eucharist is the Eucharist. We know, as Peter said, where else would we go, right? And so we went to Mass to receive the Eucharist and to be, you know, there in the morning. But in the evening, I wanted to go look at this Protestant church in the area. It's a mega church, you might say, because from an evangelistic standpoint and from, a design and art standpoint, they are cutting edge. And so I said, you know, hon, let's go take a look at it. And so we went there for their evening service. And we had to park about a mile away in a parking structure that they rented out for their congregation's overflow. And when we got out of our car, we were met by a volunteer, said, hey, welcome to Passion City Church. We're so glad you're here. The shuttle will be here in a second. The shuttle got there. The driver, hey, welcome to Passion City Church. I'll have you to that front door in just a minute. The air conditioning's on. Come on in. You get to the door. Someone's holding the door. Hey, welcome to Passion City Church. I'm so glad you're here. Come on in. As you're walking in, literally, regular parishioners or members of the congregation, hey, welcome to Passion City. Are you new? I've never seen you before. Oh, you are? Well, here, let me help you find your seat. And you walk in and you sit down, and I look to my wife, and I'm kind of a smart aleck sometimes, and I go, geez, hun, we're sure welcome to be here. Ha, ha, ha. And she looks at me dead face, just deadpan, and she goes, do you realize that in the 4 months that we've been new to every other Catholic church in the area, never once has anyone ever stopped and greeted us. And here, they haven't stopped greeting us. And it cut me to the heart, because how much does that cost a church? Nothing. It's a change in mindset. And as Catholics, that's our first defense. Hospitality, that's evangelization. And we have to do it greatly with intentionality.
We're David Cavaletti here at beautiful Christ Cathedral talking about evangelization with young adults, but really evangelization to anyone. And your point is so critical, is that we evangelize by the little things that Amen. We do, by the hellos, by meeting people at church that we don't know, by introducing ourselves. We see young families at church. Do we stop and say hi to them? Or do we just hang with our own groups? And, you know, often we do that, right? Not to put a guilt trip on, but often at the end of Mass, you center around the same people that you know, and right. The people come flowing out. And I know I do have an opportunity as a deacon, especially when I preach, to talk to people. And I go out of my way to try to introduce myself and or get to know people that I don't normally see.
Yeah.
And because we're by UCI, and so many times you get a lot of students from UCI that happen to pop in. But so many times people are church hoppers, and they go from one church to another. And what do we do to make them feel welcome? That is a core of evangelization. That is a core of what Christ did. Make them feel special. Make them feel important. This is Deacon Steve Greco again, and we're so excited again to have David Cavaletti and Katie Hughes talking about evangelization with young adults. We're going to be getting into some specific things that we as a church perhaps can do a little bit better after the break. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
This is Deacon Steve Recker. We're back on Powered by the Spirit. I'm so excited to be with David Cavaletti, National Youth Leader and Young Adult Leader, and Katie Hughes, talking about what we can do as a church to have that welcome with young adults and to meet them where they're at. And during the break, Katie, you were just mentioning kind of a step-by-step process of, first of all, and how we welcome them, and tell us again what you were saying on what we do with young adults.
We were talking about being welcoming, inviting, loving, sharing the love of Jesus. And once their hearts are captured by the love of Jesus, it's really important to share with them and impart on them the knowledge that now that you're closer to Jesus, you have a responsibility, a bigger one. And your responsibility is to be Christ-like in your life, and that's living in the Spirit. You can't live two sides. You can't live in the world and in the life in the Spirit. And as far as that is, you have to tell them the truth. What are we supposed to do to live like Jesus? How are we supposed to behave? What is our faith? What is our teaching? Where does our mass come from? What is this foundation that we believe in? You have the surface. You need a very strong foundation to give them, to armor them for the future, so that they can be evangelizers for the rest of their life.
My brothers and sisters, we're here at Christ Cathedral talking about a very important subject of young adults and how we can better get them involved in the church through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, meeting them where they're at, welcoming them, but not watering down the gospel message, David. You know, the reality is I've been involved in marriage preparation as a deacon for many years. Almost everybody I see is couples either have or are currently living together. And they don't think anything's wrong with that.
Right.
Whatever happened to sin, you know, I don't want to get back to the fire and brimstone type thing. But the reality is Jesus is pretty clear in his scriptures and very clear about the fact of the matter is that we can't water down and pick and choose as a cafeteria what we think is the right thing to do. And your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we approach young adults or anyone for that matter in terms of the gospel message and evangelizing them, sin has to be in that conversation. And the reality is like we all are under the burden of this thing. Like maybe they can't quantify it as sin, maybe they don't label it as such, but they know that when they do that thing or they're involved in that relationship that there's just a sense of shame or guilt. And everyone by default wants to be free from that, right? I mean, again, whether we can put it into a word or not, we want to be free from it. And so as we craft the way we speak and evangelize to young adults, we need to be aware of that. Not just, you know, throwing a bunch of church teaching, but bringing that church teaching to that ache in their heart that longs for freedom. And that's where the gospel is. You know what I mean? Bring them there. And I think freedom from sin is a very, very attractive aspect of the gospel. We want freedom. We want that life that the gospel offers us.
My brothers and sisters, one of the things that I want to share with you is the road to Emmaus. So take a look and get out your Bible again to Luke 24 and take a look and start reading at verse 13. I'm not going to read it all here. But when Jesus is on this road and talking to these people that were downcast, and he began quoting scripture and one scripture after another, and then he disappeared, but their eyes were open. They recognized him. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" Mm-hmm. My brothers and sisters, I want to just share with you, very, very important, is Jesus did not water anything down. He quoted the scriptures, and then their eyes were open. So many young adults leave the church and go to our Protestant churches that do nothing but preach the gospel and preach scripture, and that they act as if they hear it for the first time. I mean, obviously they hear it at every mass, but the difference is the way it happens and the importance of learning about the Bible. We take this, unfortunately, as an option. I feel very passionate about this. It is not an option. You have got to understand what is in the Word of God. You know, that doesn't diminish the sacramental church. It doesn't diminish anything. But remember, the Mass is 50% the Word of God and 50% the Eucharist, because Jesus is the Word. Your thoughts, David?
No, absolutely. St. Jerome, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And if we are going to tell anyone about Christ, the question is, do we really know Him? You know, are we ourselves being immersed in the Word? Or do we have a relationship with that living Word of God? And if they see it in us, one, we have hopefully a better ground to effectively communicate the gospel, like you were mentioning with the Protestant churches, who that's the first time they think they're hearing the gospel, right? But two, like, they see the power that these aren't just words about God. This is the Word of God. And if they see the power in your life and how it brings you hope and how there's healing and how there's a just authentic conversion on a daily basis through Scripture in your life, that's, again, we want freedom from sin. We want the fullness of life. We're created to be fully alive. And if they see that in you because of your relationship with God and the Word, that's going to be contagious. It's going to raise that thirst in them.
Katie, what do you tell people? Because this is what I hear all the time. Well, I just don't have that gift. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you can always ask for the gift.
Amen. Amen.
For me, I think I started really listening to Scripture was more recently, as far as how, not just, I knew it was in the Bible and I knew it was in our Mass, but I don't think I really saw it fully and attractively until I started seeing it in music. When I started listening only to Christian music, I realized, like, you know, that's in the Bible. I've heard that. Even some songs we hear at Mass, Yahweh, I know you're near, or Do Not Be Afraid, you start to realize, like, there is so much Scripture in the Mass. And also finding a good Bible study. And maybe it's not going to one, but maybe it's listening to one. And that's where I found it, was listening to certain speakers. And it was a Catholic one, and so I felt safe. Mm-hmm. I said, I know it's not going to stray. And the person was of the Church and of the Lord. And I started really understanding Revelation and not being afraid of it, and realizing that was the Mass, and the beauty of the Mass and the beauty of the Eucharist. I just started to live it more. The more you fill yourself with Scripture and the music and the Mass, you don't have space for anything else but the Lord. And for me, that's what keeps me on the right road. I'm not perfect, but it keeps me on the right road.
This is Deacon Steve Greco here on Empowered by the Spirit at Christ Cathedral, beautiful Christ Cathedral, with David Cavalletti and Katie Hughes. David, you've talked about method and message, and you've mentioned that the gospel is the greatest thing to ever be communicated. Do we treat it as such with our methods? What do you mean by that, and how does that relate to young adults?
Yeah, well, again, kind of touching on that fight between mediocrity and greatness, right? The greatness of our church is truth, the greatness of the gospel, and our struggle in really often settling for mediocrity in the way we present it. And I think in terms of that method and message, again, if we're talking about the new evangelization, those words are thrown out a lot. And by default, our message, we understand, is the gospel. Literally, we have the words that if we can share with people, and if they receive it, like, it can lead to like a life-altering change. It could lead to their salvation. And if you think about it, like, there is no greater message to ever communicate on the face of the earth than the gospel, right? No greater words exist than the gospel. And that's what we've been asked to deal with. That's what we've been asked to communicate. So then we got to ask ourselves, are our methods being chosen and developed in a way that does the message justice? And also, does the receiver justice, right? So it's not enough just to say, well, we have the gospel. Are we communicating the gospel in a cultural language that the people, young adults in this case, are able to actually stop and receive and stop and think about and start to make their own? And so our methods need to be filled with quality. They need to be filled with intentionality. We can't just say, well, this is what we've done for the past 10 years. Because in 10 years, our culture has changed so rapidly, we need to update our methods. Not our message, but our method, because a message is that important. It's priceless. And one of the examples I think about in my own ministry is, why traditionally are tabernacles made out of gold? We hear in Scripture and all that, you know, in the Ark, but basically because they house the presence of God, right? It's almost like a duh moment, right? Should there be anything else that God would be housed in other than this precious metal that is gold? Well, in that same way, shouldn't everything that surrounds our masses be made of gold, so to speak. Everything that surrounds our evangelistic efforts or that surrounds our message of the gospel be made out of gold, out of the, and by that I mean this quality of greatness, this striving for excellence, because the message itself deserves it. And the people are dying for it. And if we don't communicate in the right way, they're not going to be able to hear that message that we've been charged to give them.
So can you elaborate a little bit more on specific methods, perhaps, to young adults?
For sure. Well, I think, Katie, you kind of touched on the idea of music. Music speaks, I think, to humanity in general, but especially young adults. It's such a passionate time of life. And I mean, even John Paul II's Theology of the Body would speak to this idea that every human experience is that ability to experience something is in itself a gift from God meant to lead us to God. So the fact that I can listen to a song and it somehow moves my heart is a God-given gift, and its sole purpose is meant to lead me to God. Now, sure, the enemy has hijacked that working ability and can start to distort that truth in so many ways, but that ability to be inspired by art or to be drawn to beauty, that's a God-given tool meant to lead us home. The world uses that and leads us down these crooked paths to fill their bank accounts or to follow their agendas. But at the beginning, it's a default ability of human beings by God meant to lead us to Him. And so the church, I think, needs to lean into that. And so the idea, when I say quality, I think quality really is seen in terms of beauty and in terms of the effort we put into something. Our teachings haven't changed in 2,000 years, and they never will, praise be to God. But our methods need to be beautiful. And by that, how does the culture view music? Or how does the culture view art? How does the culture even just view hospitality? Sadly, you will find greater hospitality at a shopping mall than you will at most of our churches.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We'll be right back to talk more about evangelization with young adults and how we can make a difference. Deacon Steve Greco, we're back on Empowered by the Spirit with David Cavaletti and with Katie Hughes, and we're so excited to be talking about young adults and how we can communicate with young adults in a way to meet them where they're at. But one of the things that you said, David, you said, you know, things, there's certain things that haven't changed in 2,000 years. And I want to go to Mark 16, 15 and move on to 18. He said to them, go in the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Now that has not changed. We were baptized to do that, to be priest, prophet, and king. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will pick up new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That means you have a lot of power,
yeah.
The power of the Holy Spirit in terms of actions, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not Jesus, but we're the ambassadors of Jesus. We're the vessels. In fact, John 14:12 says, Jesus said to us, you will do what I do and more because I go to the Father before you. So first and foremost, we're in a society of addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Pornography is rampant.
Mm-hmm.
Drug addiction, alcoholism, workaholicism, whatever it is, thousands of addictions. And this says that we can drive out demons. And certainly we are in spiritual warfare in which these addictions, certainly we bring on by ourselves, but they're often enhanced by demonic influences or spiritual warfare. And the point of the matter is we have power, and young adults need to know that and to understand it. Your thoughts?
I think as the bride of Christ, we have a little bit of an identity crisis. I once heard this priest, he said, how many of you think that the world thinks the bride of Christ is powerless? And, you know, they didn't really know how to answer that. And then he pointed out some examples where exactly the world does. And that's why the church is the butt of a joke. And that's why, you know, all these different things, you can see that the church is tossed around by the world's opinion. And then he came up and he said, but why should they think any differently? Because the church, for all accounts, actually looks like the world. We vote like the world. We talk like the world. We settle like the world. We act like the world. And then he went in to talk about that's not the vision for the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is supposed to be filled with power, and we are supposed to be so drastically different than the world. And that doesn't happen from our own human ability. It happens because this Holy Spirit is in you, transforming you. And the Holy Spirit, I mean, the bride of Christ isn't meant to just be another lady walking down the street, right? The bride of Christ is the fulfillment of heaven on earth, and that power should be attractive, and it should be seen, and it should be believed in. But as Catholics, I don't think, I struggle with this, and I yearn for that power of the Holy Spirit to be more and more active in my life. But on a general experience of the church, that's a foreign idea. You know, I think that's where I say we have an identity crisis. We don't know who we are. We don't realize that we've been given that power. And I love to talk to teens and young adults about the book of Acts. It's not just a edifying book, but it's historically accurate. And this is the blueprints of the Catholic Church. You and I should be living like the book of Acts, because it's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same baptism. It's the same gospel. It's the same sacrament. The only thing that's changed in 2,000 years since when that book was written is me. I'm the only variable in my hardness of heart or my receptivity of the Holy Spirit. And you are the variable, and the young adults in the parish, the parishioners, they're the variable. And the world needs the variable to change and to realize who she is as the bride of Christ.
Amen. And, you know, power is so critical, Katie, when dealing with young adults that are so struggling with identity. You know, they're struggling with trying to find their way in corporate America, mm-hmm. relationships or children or whatever it is. But they don't understand that Jesus has not left them orphans, have given them the power of the Holy Spirit.
They do have the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's accessible, and we have to ask for it. But asking for something, it requires humility. Mm-hmm. I think when you have people in our Catholic faith in the church, you think you're strong, that you're invincible, that you're going to plow through life and you can do it on your own. Well, you're not showing your weakness. You're not showing your brokenness to the Lord. You're saying, I don't need you. And so when you say, I don't need you, Lord, and you're doing things your own way, well, how can you let the power of the Holy Spirit work in you? So I truly believe, for me, that God works so much more better when I am at my weakest point. And I identify with like St. Therese of Lisieux and St. Bernadette and Blessed Mother Teresa, because in their weakness, being so small, being women, they were so small, but they have such a great impact even after their death. There's such power because they were weak enough to let God in, and then they were able to be used in simple ways and in big ways.
Surrendering to Jesus Christ and understanding that, and understanding that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah. As we're talking, I can't help but think about in Acts when Jesus tells him, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And you mentioned, I mean, the Holy Spirit, that power is the word dynamite. And I think about dynamite is dangerous, right? Dynamite destroys obstacles in its way. And in the most perfect way, that's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in our lives, this kind of uncontained power that's come to destroy our apathy or our struggles or our addictions, right? And the idea of being the witnesses to the ends of the earth, I think in order to be a witness, it means you actually had to experience, you had to witness that power in your life.
Amen.
And maybe a lot of our Catholics haven't quite come to that point of witnessing the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit in them. And so I think that receptivity is so important, because we can't talk about and show the glory of God unless, I mean, if we let it change our lives, that's the most beautiful testimony these people could ever see.
Amen. And, you know, the thing that really hits me is we talk about the good news of Jesus Christ, and I often will ask audiences, you know, what is the good news of Jesus Christ? Of course, I usually get silence, right? And then people kind of get the fact, well, he died on the cross for our sins, which, of course, is great news. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That, again, John 3:16, you know, that God so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and whoever believes in him will have eternal life because he died and rose again for our sins. And that is great news. But it doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop there. It's also about the daily news, good news, which in which Jesus broke the bonds of the devil, broke the bonds of sin, broke the bonds of addictions, my brothers and sisters. You are not alone. You are not alone. And it's so important to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why this show is called Empowered by the Spirit, to understand the power of the Holy Spirit to break addictions, to heal relationships, to heal the sick, to do all those things. And David, that is what the gospel is all about.
Absolutely. I follow this particular priest on Twitter, and he had tweeted out the excuse, I'm only human, doesn't count if you're a Christian. And I had to stop and think about it. But what he meant is exactly that. Like we're not merely humans. Like, we've been empowered with the Holy Spirit, and we have this ability that is beyond the norm of humanity. We have a supernatural gifting in order to combat this evil, in order to be freed in Christ, in order to speak that into someone else's life. And as a church, if we were a little bit more trusting of who God sees us as, and went out and encouraged to these young adults or to whoever to not only preach the gospel, but to come in power, man, there's no way you can deny that when people are being healed, when people are being delivered, when people, I mean, in some places in this world are literally being raised from the dead. And like, that's the power that Jesus gives us. And as a church, it's time we kind of wake the sleeping beauty, right? Go out and live it.
Amen. And we have a great opportunity with this new evangelization, wherever we are, with young adults, with everybody, with the youth, older adults, young adults, whoever it might be, to make a difference by showing them the power of the Lord in our own lives and how Jesus has made a difference in really healing us. And I'm going to ask for some special prayer because when this is aired, I will have already gotten back from the Philippines, but I'm going on a mission for over 2 weeks to 7 different islands and orphanages and abandoned elderly in prisons and so forth to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are hurting and those that are broken. And so I ask, because Jesus, there is no time with Jesus. So when you hear this and can pray for me, then that'll be retroactive to when I'm there. And so I'm excited about that. And Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for David and for Katie and for all young adults. And we're just asking, Lord God, to be instruments of your love, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with your power. May we share the love of Jesus Christ to those around us, whether they be youth or young adults or older. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with your love. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all, and we'll be back with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.